This is Three Men and a Microphone.
Welcome to Canandaigua 1310 WOKR, Three Men and a Microphone, and...
A lady.
Mike Yarger and Tina Bloom with this week's news all about Canandaigua, when we are first in local news.
Okay, so Tina, why don't you bring in the first story?
All right, so let's talk about the city's harvest of these black walnut trees. There's been a lot of news about this, a lot of people in an uproar. I didn't realize it either, but apparently mature black walnut trees all over the country are being taken down and sold at a premium. And recently, the city of Canandaigua took down some of these black walnut trees. I believe it was in Tellier Park. Is that right?
Tellier.
Yep. And the concern was, is the city trying to make money on the backs of chopping these trees down? So John Goodwin, the city manager, did make a comment that that definitely wasn't the case. It was a safety issue. They're taking down old trees that pose a threat. But a lot of people think there might be some kind of conspiracy to that. So what are your thoughts, guys?
Okay, so I don't think these were necessarily old trees. You know, it's not that they were concerned about branches falling. They said there's a liability issue. And part of the liability issue has to do with these nuts fall on the ground. People can step on them, hurt their ankles, right?
Are you serious?
No, okay, so this is one.
Glad I'm not an old tree.
But here's another thing. The kids take these nuts and they throw them at each other. Or they throw them at houses of the neighbors and break, right?
Horrifying.
I mean, this is stuff that I did when I was a kid.
Well, why aren't we chopping down apple trees? I mean, chop down all the trees.
Well, and that may happen.
We're going to be treeless Canandaigua.
That's a terrible reason to chop down a tree.
Canandaigua is Tree City, USA.
How about a rake?
Rake City,
USA. Rake them. Rake up the loose walnuts. They can't be the answer. That's not really what they said, right?
No, this is real. Well, okay, the city didn't say that.
Let's just get to the money part. The money is somebody sold the tree, so where'd that money go?
What we don't know. Did they sell it? So my question is, what did they do with the trees that they took down? Have they been sold or just disposed of? Because if they made money on the back of it, absolutely. I think the taxpayers deserve to know that, and that needs to be put back into the general fund or something.
Right, and if they didn't sell, why didn't they sell them? Right? I mean, if they have some value to them, why wasn't the lumber sold?
My nephew has a nut allergy. I didn't know my sister-in-law was that powerful to get every walnut tree in Ontario County removed, but I like trees. Got a big connection with you know, stuff like that. I don't want to hear that, they drop and then we trip our ankles up, and our kids may pick them up and throw them. There's rocks in the ground. There's gravel driveways.
Well, that's just it. If you're looking to do something bad, you're going to do something bad. And John Goodwin also made reference to, and Mike, you were talking about liability, the emerald ash borer and that invasive species perhaps already being part of the black walnut population in Canandaigua, or it was going to, so they thought maybe they're taking them down preemptively. So that was another reason given as to why some of these were harvested. But you're right. What happened to the trees after they were taken down, was money made? Again, taxpayer property, right? It's in a park, so we deserve to know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So what's the spore going to do? It ruins other trees,
Yeah, it does, and apparently it eats the tree, from what I understand, almost from the inside out. So you can look at the outside of a tree, and it may look to be healthy when, in fact, it is deteriorating. So branches could fall, limbs could fall. I suppose a whole tree could fall if you have a big storm or wind. So, yeah.
I like that answer better, and it probably makes the tree less profitable too,
right?
If it's ruined on the inside,
no doubt. But we don't know if that's the case or not. So was this done preemptively to prevent the infestation of the emerald ash borer, or was it done, you know, because there already was a problem? We don't know.
Right. And you know, there's such a thing as, like, I'm a knife collector, so wormwood and things like that makes the knife or the handle extremely unique. So it may not ruin the profitability of the wood.
Sure.
It would just make it it would have more character.
Right.
And then if a famous knife company like Case scoops that up and makes that part of their collection, there you go. You've actually got a $40 knife is now a $200 knife.
Right.
Makes sense.
So the city has a city arborist. On top of that, they also have a tree advisory committee. And the tree advisory committee is usually notified when trees are going to be cut down, and they have to give their approval to have these trees cut down. So we need to follow up with the Tree Advisory Committee and the city to find out what the status of these black walnut trees were, what the real liability issue is, what the other issues were surrounding that.
Any idea how many trees we're talking about?
I think there were like three or four trees, but the person who brought this to our attention was Lisa Allen Aiken, and she said they were out there cutting for a couple of days. I think day three was when she posted her pictures. Terry Baird was the other one who was asking, isn't anybody else concerned that the city is taking down these trees? And this isn't the first time that the issue of trees have been brought up.
Up and down Main Street, right?
Okay, so over on Scotland Road, when they redid that street, they had to take down a bunch of trees. Down at Kershaw Park, they took out a bunch of the weeping willows because they caused or posed a potential hazard. The branches on the weeping willows are very weak, and anytime there's a wood storm or things like that, you'll see tree branches falling down.
Aren't those beautiful trees, though? Those
they
weeping
are
willows?
Beautiful.
Oh, my
yeah.
gosh.
I love them, and I Me love too. The fact that they line the north end of the lake like they do.
Those are gorgeous. So, but, yeah, I guess I'm given some level of comfort now, knowing that there is a professional arborist on staff with the city, as well as this tree committee that you're referring to, Mike, knowing that there are some checks and balances. So it's not somebody somewhere saying, hey, we stand to make some money off this. Let's do it behind closed doors. Hopefully, you know, they're informed citizens making decisions on our behalf. So, but I think it requires some follow-up. So hopefully we'll hear from this committee and or city council.
Right. And one other thing we learned was that there is a fellow named Robert Chapman out of Victor. And Robert will come to your property, even if it's in the city or like that. If you have a black walnut tree or a tree that you think might have some value to it, and he'll let you know if it has some value and what the value, you know, approximately what the value of that tree might be. So if you're interested in getting his name and information, number, that's all available on Canandaigua 2020.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, I think people underestimate the danger of having these big old mature trees on their property and not knowing the health of them. So, I think it was back in 2009, I was living here in the town of Canandaigua in one of the neighborhoods, and we had a tornado. Do you guys remember that?
Yes.
Yeah. And that tornado took down a couple trees in my backyard that landed on my house, and it destroyed half the house.
Wow.
It was enormous amount of damage, but it was because those trees were dead. So when the tornado came through, one of them fell over, kind of domino effect into another, which crushed the side of the house. But I think people don't know anything about their health. I didn't. I was completely ignorant. But I think getting the health of your trees checked out, especially if they're close to your home or dwelling or anything important to you on your property, probably not a bad idea.
I got to throw this in there then, because you brought it up, and it makes sense. The water that we've had this last year leading up to, say, spring or summer killed the tree in our backyard and my neighbor's two trees. Neither one of them have produced leaves or anything. So maybe because they're actually dead now or ruined somehow from the water,
right,
that you have to take them out. We actually took our tree out.
Yeah.
And it was a memorial tree, but it's completely useless and it's barren.
Right. It's a liability. Yeah, that's sad, though. That's sad, Tim.
Okay, so moving on to our next story, it turns out Shauna O'Toole has announced that she is planning on running for the 54th Senate District. And I say she, but apparently when the announcement was made, it was disclosed that this is a transgender person.
And this is for Rich Funke's seat, right, Mike?
No, this is for Pam Helming's seat.
Pam Helming's
seat. The 54th District, right. So she's announced that she's going to be running against Pam Helming. Now, I don't have any issue with the fact that he who became she is running against Pam Helming. I think anybody can run against Pam Helming. I welcome competition when it comes to elections.
Mm-hmm.
What bothers me is the entire focus of the article of this announcement was the fact that he had become a she, and it was about him, her, being a transgender. And when somebody's running for an election, I don't care if it's a man, a woman, or something else. What I care about is, what are they going to do for us?
The issues.
You know, right. What are the issues that they want addressed? You know, but there was no discussion of that in this announcement. So I say, you know, to the people out there in the press, let's stick to the issues, the real issues. The issue is not you know, the fact that this person is transgender.
Now, do we know that Shauna's not making it about this? Because I know one of the big pushes of this LGBTQ, hopefully I said that correctly.
You did.
LGBTQ.
Wait, think I got it right. Yeah,
oh, you're right.
Yeah.
You got them all.
I was going to say, what did I miss?
You got to throw in the Q.
Q. Yeah, I got it. I'm right there with you. Is equality. And I think if there are folks from that community that are out there trying to use it to their advantage that, hey, you know, we're trying to get a Senate seat or whatever the political position might be, let's call a spade a spade. Let's make sure everything's equal. Why even throw that into the conversation? Why does it matter that you used to be a man and now you're a woman and you're running for Senate? To me, you're a woman running for Senate. Let's make it, to your point, Mike, about the issues, about what you stand for, about your background, not necessarily your sexual or gender orientation.
Exactly.
That's the way it's supposed to be. I mean, I don't understand why the other side of culture, I'll say that, you know, they always want to point out, you know, you're making it, you know, a gender thing, you're making it a sex thing, you're making it something, or a political, you know, side. Well, then what are they doing right now?
Right.
Why even bring it up? Other than, you know, you can introduce someone as that, I suppose, so that you know. But after that, that's it. Let it go. Because if I draw any more attention to it, then I'm not really being politically correct at all. And to Mike and your point, Tina, we're not even beginning to focus on the platform and what that person is really running for. You know, I want to know more about that person as in history and, you know, resume and what they've done.
Exactly.
And how they ran before. You said they ran against Rich Funky.
Right.
So what did they run on then? That's what matters to me, how they're going to vote in the future. But it's funny, if you and I did it, we would be in trouble. But if they do it, whoever they is, then it's okay. And it should have been left alone, and our newspapers should be up to speed by now, or whoever wrote the article or whatever.
Yeah.
All men and women are created equal, right? So we should run on that premise and not try to bring up whatever special, not organizations necessarily, but whatever our identity is to a special group. Shouldn't matter if you're running in politics, even if you are a woman. When I ran for town council, I ran against a man. And the last thing, I mean, people would say, you need to go out and get women voters. You need to make this about the women. And although I can identify with that, and I think women need to be empowered to get out and vote, I don't want to just pander to one side, because it is about issues. It's about politics. And the way I feel about something doesn't matter that I'm a man or a woman running. So that's not who I'm going to go after as a potential voter.
There actually is a better quote, though. All men and women are not created equal. And that's why Sam Colt made the Colt Revolver.
Was that his tagline, or are you marketing this for Sam Colt?
That equalizes everybody. You know, if you're a big bully, but I got a Colt, you're not such a bully.
Wow. Okay.
Really? Because I always took it that women were superior.
But I wasn't going to throw that.
That's just what I was taught.
So.
By your mother and your wife.
You know that, you know.
And my six sisters.
That's right.
That women and men, right? Women were made from Adam's rib.
Right.
That's what the Bible says. Yep.
That's right. It's biblical that women are a cheaper cut.
Wow, now that's a low blow.
Plug Archie Bunker. He's the one that taught me that.
Okay, yeah, I would hurry up and blame it on somebody. I'm sitting right across from you right now.
Okay, so moving on to the next story, and this again has to do with political office. The Ontario County Sheriff, Phil Povero, has announced that he is going into retirement. And no sooner had those words spilled from his mouth then Silvio Palermo announced that he intends to run for the office of Ontario County Sheriff. And that official announcement is going to take place this Monday down at the Inn on the Lake.
I don't
know what time.
5 o'clock.
Oh, 5 o'clock.
That's right.
Down at the Inn on the Lake. So if you know Silvio, you want to go out there and support him, if you want to learn more about him, plan on stopping over at the Inn on the Lake at 5 on Friday, on Monday.
Yeah, I'm on Monday, yep, the 20th. I'm excited about this. So I know Silvio, he has been wanting to run for this position for a very long time. He's very much prepared. I think you know, very much the guy to take the place of Pavarotti. Did you know that Phil Pavarotti is the longest running sheriff in New York State?
I did know that.
Over 27 years. So when he retires at the end of 2018, he's the longest serving sheriff in New York, which is pretty cool. So I think we need someone of equal caliber and intention to replace him. And in my opinion, that's Silvio. So I'm excited about both announcements and thank Mr. Pavarotti for his service. That's huge.
Yeah, I like Sheriff Pavarotti. I had two phone calls with him over the years of being here in Canandaigua, and both times he treated me with respect and talked to me very normal and addressed the issue. One I thought was funny because I called up to complain that I got a ticket and they put the sheriff on, and I said,
"Wow."
I go, "Well, I just want to know. I just got this ticket for no seatbelt. And, you know, I work hard all weekend, so how much money did I just lose?" And he laughed. He goes, "Oh, they got you." And I go, yeah, they got me. "So how much?" He goes, "Damn, it's only about a buck and a half. You'll be okay." And so I like that. I mean, he actually took the sting out of it, not the 150 sting.
Sure.
But, yeah. Well,
I was kind of
infamous for not wearing my seatbelt until the third ticket, and I said, "Oh, I think I get the point now."
Better a ticket than flying through the windshield, Tim.
Yeah, I don't know. At my body weight, how far can I really go?
Oh, pretty far. Pretty far. What other county can you call, though, to complain about a ticket and they pat you right through to the sheriff?
They put you through to the sheriff, right.
That's right. I always thought that was cool.
No, yeah. And I haven't heard an ill word spoken by anyone that has any authority or, is any respectable citizen spoken about Sheriff Pavarotti. So, really, I think it's been a tremendous run for him, and I'm excited about what the future holds for Ontario County and our next sheriff.
Yeah. And I have to say, he's always had the backing of both political parties, which I think is fantastic.
We talked about that last week, Mike, and you weren't here on the show. So real quick, and I hate to be tangential, but what are your thoughts on cross-endorsement of candidates? So if you have a Republican candidate, for instance, and they get the backing of the Democratic Party without a Democratic candidate being in place, how do you feel about that?
Right. So we noted that in some of the races, there were cross endorsements, and particularly in the town.
That's right.
That seems to be a pretty common thing in the town of Canandaigua. Mm-hmm. You don't see that in the city. So I thought it was unusual. It kind of stood out. And I actually think it's a good thing because, you know, we have two major parties. And two major parties have divided this nation. And it has been very detrimental to our nation, I think. So if both parties can get behind a single candidate and say, you know, really, this is the best person for that job, I'm all for that.
And I'm in total agreement. And we've talked about it before. I think the majority of Americans are somewhere in the middle. You're not far, far left or far, far right. You may be farther right or farther left than your neighbor. But nobody, you know, is polar opposites to the most part. And I think by both parties aligning in the town like we did in the last race, I think it shows some level of bipartisanship and wanting what's best for the community regardless of party affiliation. So I agree. I think it's a positive thing.
Right.
I agree. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, so now moving away from politics.
Oh, do we want to move away yet? Can we talk about one more thing?
What about the
city supervisor race in Geneva?
Okay, city supervisor race in Geneva. Do you want to tackle those names?
Sure. Thanks for that. That was a softball. So this is wards 5 and 6 on the Ontario County Board of Supervisors. Anybody that says, you know what, I'm not going to go out and vote because this person has it, you know, they have it in the hat. No worries. Never think that. Every single vote counts. And this is just one of the many races that showed that. Out in Wayne County in Ontario, our hometown, Tim, there was a very similar race that was decided by absentees. But in the supervisor race in Geneva, Board of Supervisors, again, Ontario County, wards 5 and 6, decided by 11 absentee votes. One vote won, and it went to incumbent Greg Ben Deslowitz. And I apologize, Mr. Bendezlis, if I'm not saying your name correctly. He was a Republican incumbent, and he defeated Tamari Cataldo, I believe, who was the Democrat.
Cataldo.
Thanks, Mike.
You're welcome.
I was so close. I was on a roll.
Right.
By one vote. So it is sometimes people will sit back and say, you know what, my vote doesn't count, or there are so many people on one side or the other, or in their mind, somebody is so much further ahead in a race, they're just not going to go out and vote. one vote decided this race, and it has in our region just in this electoral, when was it, November 12th.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, it happens, and that's what happened out in Geneva. So the right. incumbent remains.
And you look at what happened up in Rochester, where Patrick O'Flynn was thought to be the shoo-in for the position, and Todd Baxter came out of nowhere.
The dark horse.
Right, and not only beat him, but beat him decisively.
Yeah.
So, you know, it does make a difference. It's important for everybody to get out there and cast their votes.
Be informed. Yep. That's Learn right. who's running and get out there and vote. Absolutely.
Okay. So let's move on to some fun and games. It turns out that there was a meeting I missed, and I don't miss many meetings, but there was a budget meeting at the City of Canandaigua on a Thursday night, and this meeting was packed. Now, I can tell you, I've been to a lot of budget meetings in the City of Canandaigua, and there's never more than two or three people at the most at these budget meetings. They are so dry. They are so difficult to sit through. And we're talking like 3 hours of time. And yet 40 people roughly showed up at this meeting, all wearing matching shirts that talked about pickleball. They want pickleball courts.
Pickleball?
Right. Now, Canandaigua has pickleball courts. Down at Sonnenberg Park, we have three tennis courts. And pickleball is a form of tennis, ping pong kind of thing. It's a merger. But what they do is it's smaller than a tennis court, so they have to reline the tennis courts for the pickleball players. And they use wooden paddles as opposed to strung paddles that you have in tennis.
Okay.
Right? And it's a smaller court, so you hit this ball back and forth, and the ball is actually a wiffle ball, one of those plastic balls.
Do you let it bounce, or are you just trying to hit it every time it comes across?
It's similar to tennis. It comes across, it can bounce once, but you hit it back to the person on the other side of the net.
Okay.
So it's really a great game for senior citizens because it doesn't take as much of a toll as playing something like tennis. You don't have to be as quick
ball.
Because it's a much smaller area that you're playing in.
Okay.
So pickleball is very popular in certain parts of the country. If you go down to the villages in Florida, they have like 140 pickleball courts.
Oh, my goodness.
Right? And people are lining up at like 5 o'clock in the morning to get their court to
Who
play
knew?
Pickleball. Well, I knew this. But meanwhile, these people, they show up at the city council meeting and they say, we want more pickleball courts. Well, wait a minute. We got three already at Sonnenberg. Over at Baker Park, they have an additional, I think, three tennis courts, but two of them are already set up for pickleball.
Okay.
And I thought, well, maybe they're not, the lines on the court are not official or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
not regulation.
Not regulation, whatever. No, apparently it turns out that what they want to do is they want to take these courts away from the tennis players and have them used exclusively for pickleball.
Oh, boy.
Because if you do that, you can actually get like six pickleball courts in the space it takes up, that three tennis courts take up. So they could get six out of the space that's currently used for the tennis players. And I spoke with John Goodwin, the city manager, about this, and he says, yeah, you know, there's a possibility that we might go in that direction. Because there are tennis courts up at Baker Park, and we may convert those to strictly tennis and then give the pickleball players their courts down at Sonnenberg. But I'll tell you, one of the things that kind of bothered me about this was that one of the people who came to speak and asked for these pickleball courts doesn't even live in the city of Canandaigua. So they're not paying Canandaigua taxes.
Where do they live? Do you know?
They live in the town of Canandaigua.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So about 40 of these people, and from what I understand, about 60% of those 40 people live in the city, and the other 40% live outside of the city, but
in
assumably
town.
In close proximity if they're playing pickleball in the city.
So that might go back to the town and city shared services agreement that we're trying to work on?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and why is this person not then going to the town and saying, give us some pickleball courts?
Well, it should be equal. Right. It should be equal in determining whether or not if you're a city resident and you pay town taxes for town park, you know, pavilion rentals and things like that or vice versa. I think that's something they're working on. So hopefully it will be equal. I never knew pickleball was such a big thing.
Well, they say it's the fastest growing sport. But the only people who say it's the fastest growing sport are the pickleball players, right? You actually look up what the fastest growing sports are, and they're like hockey, lacrosse,
oh, I can see that.
Rugby, right? So it's more traditional sports that are still growing much faster. Ultimate Frisbee hit the top 15,
no
but
kidding.
Pickleball did not.
Yeah, I could see that over pickleball any day of the week, but wow.
So do you know when the first pickleball match mentioned in the Bible?
In the Bible.
When Joseph served in Pharaoh's court.
Oh.
How many pickleball players does it take to screw in a light bulb? What do you mean the bulb was out? It wasn't out. It was in.
Oh, my gosh. And this is where the show starts to spiral.
It's going down,
this is where
down,
we get a little
down.
Punchy. All right, so we have a pickleball lobby in Canandaigua. Got it. I'm going to watch out for those guys.
Okay, so you have another one for us?
I do. I wanted to talk a little bit about donations that are needed for children. So the Finger Lakes Treasure Trove and the Canandaigua YMCA are gathering donations for kids, cold weather gear specifically. So gloves, hats, scarves, boots, snow pants, anything to keep kids warm who might not be able to afford real cold weather gear. And it's gotten cold really quickly, right, guys? I mean, it's gotten frigidly cold, markedly.
Frigidly
so.
Cold?
Oh.
Come on.
Oh, it's Arctic. It's Arctic,
Arctic
Mike.
Arctic, come on. It's not that bad yet.
Oh, she doesn't have any walrus, you know, extra material like I do.
Yeah, right.
I'm sensitive.
It might really be cold to her. Me, it's like, well, I'll wear a sweatshirt.
Oh, my gosh, I'm freezing in here, you guys. Yeah. Like, even here in the shop, I'm so cold. Oh, is that right? Is it up to, like, 40?
No, it's like 70 or something, or 64. I don't know.
Oh, holy smokes, 64, that's frigid. But I appreciate it. I appreciate it. It's been so cold.
I thought of you when I spent that money this morning.
Oh, you're so sweet. Yeah, I'll start writing you a check every week. Thanks, Tim. So, I guess I'm all alone. Hopefully there's some listeners that are willing to back me on this. But
well,
it has
all
been
the ones
cold.
Down in Florida, you know.
The snowbirds. No, it has been cold, and especially for the little guys, right? For kids and their parents might not be able to afford some good cold weather gear. I know I just cleaned out my closet, decided this year I'm going to get all new coats, so now I have a good place to donate. So Canandaigua YMCA and Finger Lakes Treasure Trove are places you can donate those to. Where is the Finger Lakes Treasure Trove? This
I'm
I do not
so
know.
I'm so glad you asked.
Are you?
Yeah, because this treasure trove is really a treasure in our community.
I had no doubt.
They, if you know where Burn Dairy is.
Yes, the old one or the new one?
The old one.
Yes.
On South Main Street. Okay, you go behind there, and they have a brand new parking lot back there called the Anta Street Parking Lot.
That's where they're having the every other week winter farm market.
That's right. And right back there is a back entrance to the store called
Finger Lakes Treasure Trove.
Right, Finger Lakes Treasure Trove. And they're actually not for profit, okay? So they take donations and they sell them at very reasonable cost, or they'll give things away.
Okay.
Okay? So it's kind of like a Salvation Army thrift store, as my mother used to call them, a boutique, right? So my mother always went shopping at the boutiques, and this would be another boutique for people to take advantage of.
Well, I'm glad we brought up where it is, because I think it's important for folks to check it out, to know where it is, and to know where to leave their donations. On 2020, people have been talking a lot about, where can I donate my extra clothes? And they've been going to, I think Parkway Plaza has those big bins, but for a while they were overflowing, and people were getting upset. Is nobody picking this up? Is this really being donated? I guess the day that was posted on 2020, somebody came and picked it up.
Sure.
So there are lots of places around that you can donate, but this is very specific to children and winter weather, so go for it. And if you have any extra coats, I could always use one in here. So send them my way.
You know, I have a whole rack of parkas.
There
I
you
know.
Go.
I need one of those huge, I don't know.
Have a courtesy parka.
Yeah.
like car dealership.
With a big fur hood. I would love that. I would love it.
But not natural fur, of course.
No, faux fur. Faux fur. What was that movie with Leonardo DiCaprio that came out last year or the year before? It was about, oh gosh, I hardly understood it when I watched it. I thought the acoustics were very poor.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I think it was Leonardo DiCaprio. But at some point, he's out in the middle of the cold, he's going to die, and he climbs inside a dead horse.
Oh, I didn't understand. I watched that movie.
Yes, yeah, some people raved about it, and I'm like, what? You know, I couldn't. It was hard to get through
it. No, I'm with you. It was It was okay, I guess.
I thought maybe because it wasn't a chick flick, that's why I couldn't identify, but apparently I'm not the only one.
No, no, it was an odd
oh,
movie.
Oh, the name's going to come to me, too. Revenant.
Very good.
Yeah, look at that. Yeah. The Revenant. The steel trap, Tim. Steel trap up there.
Oh, you guys are something else.
So it should also be mentioned, though, this winter clothing drive for kids only runs from November 1st through the 30th.
Oh.
So it has to be this month that you make these donations.
Glad you brought that up,
okay,
Mike.
Okay, YMCA or the Treasure Trove.
Off Anna Street. Got it.
Okay. So since you brought up one of the From the Heart stories.
Oh, From the Heart. That's me.
Let's go to a few others. Sarah Nicole and her family want to sponsor a family for a Thanksgiving meal. Okay, they said, you know, we have enough for ourselves. We would like to buy a family a turkey and all the fixings so that they can have a Thanksgiving meal. And they've had a volunteer from DSS who works for DSS say, we could supply you with the name of a family. So that's been taken care of. But, you know, our heart goes out to Sarah Nicole and her family for the kindness that they're extending.
That's awesome. And a lot of people on 2020 are looking for places. You know, where can I donate a Thanksgiving meal or where can I adopt a family for Christmas? So there are a lot of people in our community that want to help others. That's tremendous.
Right. And that's what I was talking about, you know, with the donation box is overflowing. It just shows how generous our community is.
It really does.
Right. So I have a few more stories like this. Courtney Phillips, she's a mother of three children under 5 years of age.
Wow, God bless
her. God bless her. And she was at Walmart with this triple stroller, right? I think somebody called it the limo for the babies. And so she's pushing this around. She says she's getting some dirty looks from the people there. But we had some liquid sunshine falling down that day as she took the three young ones out to her car and then had to proceed to put each one individually into their car seats. Well, some gentleman came over and put his umbrella above the heads of the other two children while she was getting the first child into the car seat and remained there with water pouring down on him as her children were protected by this umbrella.
Isn't that awesome?
I think that's great. Now, Tim's kind of rolling his eyes, so I'm wondering about this.
I think it just took a chance on raising those kids like wimps, and they could have grown up tougher by having a little bit of raindrops exposed on them. But, you know, cover them up, make them softer, weaker, whatever.
The focus isn't on the kids. The focus is on the gentleman.
But it took away the opportunity of the kids. It's like when they fall down, get up. Don't help them up, because if you help them up, they get weaker.
Oh, boy.
Oh, damn. Wow.
Whoa. I want to go back to the people in Walmart giving her dirty looks.
Yeah, that...
Okay.
Why would somebody give you a dirty look because you're pushing a stroller, whether it has one baby or three? I mean, why are you judging somebody else's situation?
Well, what'd they judge her on? Because she's... Because she has kids? Or that
right.
It's taking up some room in the aisle? That the kids are healthy, pushing them down the aisle in a good store where you can buy stuff for them and she can afford to be there? What would give you... If I was there and I caught that dirty look, I'm telling you, Sheriff Pavaro may have to get involved. Because I don't like judgment. I don't like that kind of look that people do that out in public. Well, you know, where they just glance at you to give you that disdain.
Right.
And then leave you hanging. I don't know. I whoever that dirty look person is, you should be left out in the rain.
Okay, yeah. Here's my thought. She needs about 9 more. Because when I was growing up, my parents had 12 kids.
Yeah, what was the baby carriage like in your family?
Well, that's just it. Oftentimes, there were more than 3 kids under 5 years of age. So, you know, at one time, we had 2 sets of twins that were both under 5 years of age.
Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine?
No, I can't. But I grew up in it, you know?
I cannot.
And it's funny because we would walk down the street, Main Street, whatever it was. I remember we used to all, at the beginning of the school year, get together, walk down Main Street, and, you know, one kid right in front of the other kind of thing, single file. My parents would be at back, you know, keeping an eye on the line kind of thing. We'd walk into Davidson Shoe Store. We'd take a left into there, and we'd all line up along the benches there, and we'd all have to sit down and wait until it was our turn to get fitted for our school shoes.
Does this remind you of the Marines, Tim?
My dad, growing up in Syracuse, they had 14 kids. These are these Catholic families that
you don't see a lot of that anymore.
Right.
No.
Well,
you
know, who can afford to do something like that anymore, really?
They had bedrooms and closets. They had... It was amazing, the house that could house 14 kids.
Well, look at how much smaller houses used to be, too. And you used to, like you said, having kids sharing bedrooms. Or I mean, you would share a bedroom with your parents and stuff like that. And that wasn't, it wasn't a big deal. It was how you raised your family. You had a mom that would stay home and a dad that would go to work. These weren't two-income families that you always made ends meet. You'd hear stories of mothers putting water or extra milk in the soup to stretch it, to make it go farther. Yeah. I mean, that's beautiful. I love those stories.
Right. And the interesting thing with me was I was in the best position in the family.
The youngest?
Because, no, I was fourth in line from the top. So whenever things happened, like the four older kids got to do stuff before the four middle kids or the four younger kids. They were kind of split up that way. So I was always the youngest of the oldest. And I got to do things that people older than me got to do, which typically others wouldn't. But the very best thing was the oldest one was a boy. So he and I shared a bedroom together, and then there was a set of twin girls in between us. But when my older brother went off to college, I was the first one in my family to have his very own bedroom all to myself.
Wow.
It was the greatest thing, I'm telling you. If you've never had to share a bedroom before, you don't know what a glorious thing that is.
You should see the excitement on Mike's face right now. He's like giddy. He's hopping up and down in his seat. I mean, this is still very much felt.
Telling you, it was great. But let's move on to our next From the Heart story.
Okay.
And this is the Save Around Rochester books. Now, we're familiar with these things. They usually cost about $25.
Coupon books.
They have coupons for restaurants. Usually give you 50% off things.
Car
like
washes.
Yeah. They've been around for a long time. Well, those books are available for 2018 at St. Mary's School office from 9 o'clock in the morning till 2 o'clock in the afternoon, Monday through Friday, and they cost $25. So, you know, feel free to stop in, pick one up, and proceeds go to support St. Mary's School.
And that would make a really good Christmas gift. So if you're looking for a stocking stuffer or somebody, something to give to a teacher, an acquaintance, or a coworker, that's a great gift. You can save a ton of money with those books. And I always buy them. You know, kids would come door to door and say, hey, I'm selling it for whatever organization. But I would forget to use it. So I would leave it in my car, like under a seat, and then the end of the year would come, I'd be cleaning out my car, and be like, I could have saved all this money, and I didn't. But I think it's a great idea and a great gift, too.
I have a friend who's, I should have him on the show and talk just about coupons. He's kind of a stay-at-home mom, but he has his whole business too. And I mean, this guy is the hardest working dad I've ever seen. Every weekend it's you know, it's either ballet or I believe soccer or something like that. One kid is sports, one kid is you know, the ballet theater thing. And they're accomplished. Like the daughter's been in the Nutcracker and stuff like that, right? Mm-hmm. And the other one is down at Fort Dix playing in some soccer tournament right now. So anyways, this guy lives on those books, lives on like Speedway's little extra, you know, credits that they give you.
Right.
And he talks about it. He goes, oh, yeah, I'm sitting here right now having my free cup of coffee and my 10 cents less on gas, and I'm eating my pizza over here that's free, large, you know, and I don't know how. I'm no good at any of that. I might save one coupon a year.
Sure, sure.
Because I'm just sure I'm going to actually
really use it. Yeah, and some people are so good at that. I mean, you'll see, and there are websites about it, like Couponing Moms or something, and people can go in and they actually get money back after they shop. It's ridiculous. And you wonder, you know, do you have to drive around to so many stores that you're wasting more gas money than you're actually saving in coupons? But much like you, Tim, I'll cut out a couple of them if I know, hey, I'm going to use this, but I'll forget about it. Or I'll use those coupons, but then I'll buy something totally impulsive that's like 10 times the price of what those coupons would have saved me. So I am not the person that you come to if you want to save money. But it feels good when you do use a coupon, doesn't it? It feels like, oh, I'm getting something for less that typically I'd be paying full for. So
I'd have to ask somebody. I really so little ever get to do that. My wife's big on that Joanne Fabrics coupon thing.
Oh, and Michael's. They do one, too.
Michael's, too, right.
Yeah, right. Like 25% off an item, I think.
Oh, yeah, it's a big
thing
for
TJ Maxx.
TJ Maxx has coupons?
they have those types of coupons.
Are you kidding me?
Get set in the mail, Bed Bath & Beyond.
Bed Bath & Beyond, for sure.
Christmas tree. My wife uses all of these.
Yeah.
So.
No, that's smart. See, I put them in a basket in my laundry room, and I forget I have them. So I go through them, and then I'm like, oh, expired. So you toss them. But,
right.
Yeah. Well,
and most of the stores will take them even if they're expired. So
Bed Bath & Beyond will, for sure. But I'll think about the other ones, too.
Right.
We don't really use coupons here at the store.
So
I always
you don't
think
have
coupons
Iron Mike
are
coupons?
For foods. No, but I'll tell you, everybody that walks in gets 10% off with a reason. You know, like say, well, I'm a veteran. Okay, 10% off.
Aww.
I'm a fireman. 10% off. I'm a local cop. 10% off. I'm your mother. Okay,
no
mom.
Discount.
10% off.
10% more.
Actually, mom's trick was I tried to give her something for free, and she goes, no way. Cost plus 10%. That's the lowest she would take it.
Aww, wow. What a good mom. Supporting her son. That's very
well,
sweet.
Well, that and anything
even
that's
at his age.
anything that's in the window that gets a little bit of fading on it,
uh-huh.
That's hers.
Oh, that.
Oh, it'll leave. She'll walk in it, you know, and just take it off the mannequin. She goes, it's faded.
Yeah.
Faded. It's got to go.
That's right. Mom has only been here for 24 hours. It's faded. I see it. I have a really good eye for these things. So what about for three men, a Mike and a lady? If they say they're a listener of the show, can they come in and get 5% off?
I would do 5% off for someone that mentioned that they heard us on the radio.
But they have to mention.
They have to say it.
Okay.
And that's a great way because then, you know, a person that advertises and pays for that, which is what we're doing.
Right.
Right. Then you know it's working.
And you don't have to hunt for the pair of scissors to cut it out.
There you go.
Right?
Oh.
You heard it here first. Heard it here first. And I put Tim on the spot with that one. I should have gone 50%.
But, yeah, there you go.
His eyes are huge.
Time to go to a commercial break right now.
5%. We got it.
So we were speaking about St. Mary's and the books that they're offering. Well, it should be mentioned, too, that St. Mary's is offering a pasta dinner, a community meal, on Sunday, November 19th. This is just prior to Thanksgiving. That's going to take place from 4 to 7 in the afternoon, early evening. That's at 95 North Main Street. And the day following that is the next community meal that's put on by the folks like Green Front, Eric's Office, Finger Lake Dental Care, and Casa Italiana. And they're doing theirs at the Fire Hall down on South Main Street, Monday, November 20th. That's going to be from 4 to 6 p.m. And if you're still hungry after that, we all know Patty Hotchkiss, Patty's Place in Canandaigua. Now, for every year that she owned Patty's Place, she always opened the place up Thanksgiving Day and served Thanksgiving meals.
Yep.
Well, this past year, Patty sold Patty's Place, so she no longer owns it. And you think, well, that's the end of that. No. No, Patty's not going to let that tradition end. Not a chance. So if you go to the Elks Club, and that's going to be Thanksgiving Day from 11 to 1, they're offering a free Thanksgiving meal. And you don't have to be homeless or down on your luck or anything. If you don't have anybody to spend Thanksgiving with, you know, you don't have any family or anything like that, well, Patty wants you to go there.
Yeah.
She wants you to share Thanksgiving with her.
Friendsgiving.
Yeah, Friendsgiving.
That's awesome.
So great, isn't it?
No, and good for Patty. I mean, she didn't have to do it to begin with as a business owner, but now
right.
She's continuing it after she
right.
sold the restaurant. So
right.
Thank you to Patty Hotchkiss just for all these years of making sure that people have a warm meal and someone to spend it with in the holidays. I love this place. So we've established Tim is not cooking for Thanksgiving. You're going to go out.
My wife still might cook.
Yeah?
She
okay.
might.
You still haven't talked
we like turkey sandwiches, but you know, when you're just the two of you.
Right.
You know,
right.
You could buy the big turkey, but then what?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have leftovers for the next 2 weeks.
That's right. Exactly. What about you, Mike? Are you guys going to be cooking Thanksgiving? Or?
Okay. So we've spent a lot of time. My daughter just bought a house down in Baltimore area, and she is in the process of moving. And so we've been running down there and trying to help her. And, you know, that's a 6-hour drive down, 6-hour drive back, and we're not as young as we used to be. So it was decided that our daughter and her husband are going to come up and join us for Thanksgiving.
Oh,
so
nice.
We don't have to do the drive.
Very nice.
Right. So that's going to be nice. And my wife, who is Greek, she's a fantastic cook. I mean, I don't know that there are many other in this world that could compare with her. She could have her own cooking show. I'm
that
telling you.
That is the biggest
seriously.
Compliment you could ever give your wife or any woman. Guys, pay attention. If you're listening to this and you have a girlfriend, a wife, a significant other, if you tell them they are the best cook you've ever met, I mean, done. I mean, you know, I'm sold. Well, I'm done deal.
I'm not lying here. My wife makes bread all the time. Like, there's a fresh loaf of bread coming out of the oven almost every morning when I wake up.
Homemade bread.
And, and if she's not making bread, it's some zucchini cake or something like that. She's made bagels, and she, you know, she likes to experiment and do these things that she's never done before. Plus, she makes all these great Greek dishes, you know, the pitas and the roasted pepper salads with the feta cheese and, you know, the lamb.
Does she do the grape leaves, you know,
yes,
with the rice
the stuffed
and cheese?
Grape leaves.
Oh, so good.
And the moussaki with the, like, the Greek lasagna kind of thing. I mean, it's all so good.
Now, she's from the old country.
She is from the old country. She actually came over here when she was, like, 18 years old.
You know how I know that?
Yeah.
When I called the other day and she had to hold the phone up to your ear,
yeah,
I heard the accent.
Right.
Oh, and how about that?
I go, yet another clue in the life of Mike Yarger. I've been waiting what 2 weeks now to throw that in there.
Okay. So, yeah, apparently if you live in a country past the age of 12, you will pick up that accent from that country, and it will be with you for the rest of your life. But if you leave there, say, when you're 6 or 7 years old and you go to another country, you'll have the accent from the new country. There's just something that triggers in the brain around the age of 12 that prevents that from changing.
You can take the person from the country, but you can't take the country out of the person.
It's funny because my wife says, you know, when she talks to her Greek friends, they say, you speak with an American accent.
How funny.
And when she talks to her American friends, they all know that she has this Greek accent.
That's right.
Yeah, I can hear it right away.
Oh, yeah. It's very noticeable. So, and apparently the word for kitchen and chicken in Greek are very close. So my wife oftentimes will confuse the two words when she's speaking in English. You know?
Oh, how cute.
And she says, I got to clean the chicken, when she means she's got to clean the kitchen.
That's adorable. I love it.
So, when we come back, I'm assuming we're coming up on a break here.
Yes, we are.
Okay. We'll do some of the crime news.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll be right back with the crime news. And you know the crime, if you do the crime, you got to do the time.
Do the time.
That's it.
That's right.
Welcome back to Canandaigua 1310. Three men and a microphone and that girl.
That girl.
And here we go with Mike Yarger.
Okay, this is a crime report. And our good buddy, Kent Fletcher. Y'all remember Kent?
Oh.
He's from the Canandaigua Onion. And he wrote a story this week about how crime is up in our area. Mm. And he blames it on the lack of phone booths.
I can see it.
Yeah, he says the superheroes no longer have places to change their clothes.
True.
And that's why the crime has been escalating.
Why didn't we ask our fiber optic friends that were in here earlier that we were interviewing about running phone booths, you know, in the area?
Oh, what a great idea.
A crime deterrent.
A crime deterrent.
Uh-huh.
So, and apparently the communities that still have the phone booths, I guess there's one in Naples, one in Bloomfield, you know, in these smaller towns, there's no crime in these towns, right? When's the last time you heard of anything happening in Bloomfield?
Ouch. Sorry.
So, and they have a phone booth?
They have a phone booth, apparently, in Bloomfield.
Mm.
So now you know why they're so safe there. So we need to install some more phone booths around Canandaigua because we have some of the worst crimes going on. No, not really. But we happen to have Judge Estacio back in the news.
What a joke this woman is.
And we all remember that she got arrested for a DWI, and then she's had all kinds of parole violations and things like this. She's been in the Livingston County Jail, and she appeared back in court this past week, and she was offered a deal to plead guilty to one parole violation in order to be released for time served. And she contends that the only reason she was pleading guilty was because she has children and she didn't want to be spending, you know, the holidays in jail. That wouldn't be fair to her.
I think her quote was, who wouldn't want to get out of jail? Jail sucks, unquote.
Right. She says, I pled guilty to get out of jail. Who doesn't plead guilty to get out of jail? Jail sucks.
Yeah.
But then later she released a longer statement, and I think this needs to be read. It says, today is one of the lowest points in my professional life. I feel I've really let myself and everyone else down, and I'm sorry. Now, had she stopped there, I think that would have been fine. But no, she has to go on. And she says, I've really let myself and everyone else down, and I'm sorry. I was given the choice of pleading guilty to something I've made it abundantly clear I'm not guilty of, or remaining in jail over the holidays. If it were just me, I would have been in Livingston County Jail with the homies. But as a mother, I couldn't do that to my children. My heart is broken for every defendant that has ever been placed in that position. And that is not my idea of what justice looks like. As much as I dislike going through this, it continually reminds me of why I ran and why I can't give up.
So you hear about people having to hit rock bottom in order to come back. It's like she keeps hitting rock bottom, and then she bounces, and then she hits it again. Then she bounces, and she hits it again. I feel bad. I don't feel bad for her. I mean, I feel bad that we have to keep hearing this story over. She's making herself look bad. She just needs to go away and disappear. She needs to be off the city payroll. I mean, what's happening there? She's still being paid, isn't she?
She is still being paid. I don't think it's a city payroll.
Oh, okay.
I think it may be county or state.
Okay. We're paying her somehow through taxes.
That's right. We're paying her salary with taxes, and we can't prevent that from occurring. That can only be done by a panel of judges out of Albany, and they have to schedule a hearing and have this hearing to determine if it's worthy of having her disbarred. And if she's disbarred, then they can take her salary away.
How long has this debacle been occurring, though? I mean,
it has been going on, and I have no idea what the delay in having this hearing is.
Talk about throwing your life away, though. A woman who, you know, rose through the ranks and became a judge. I mean, she's a female. She's African-American. I mean, she's really a success story for other girls to look up to. She was a great role model.
Right.
But now she's just crashing and burning, and it's awful. I mean, what a terrible tragedy of what could have been a really good career and a good life.
And now she's dragging somebody else down with her.
She's dragging somebody else down with her. Are you referring to Jim Ritz?
I'm referring to the scandal of it all. I'd be hard pressed to believe it, but I guess it has been brought up to light that there was prosecutorial misconduct, right?
Okay. So with Jim Ritz, I guess the criticism that they're getting is that Jim Ritz said during the campaign that they don't plea deal the DWI cases. Okay. And it looks like in this case there was a plea deal. She had to plead guilty to one of five violations of her probation in order to be let out of prison, which she chose to do. Okay, but some people have criticized Jim Ritz because it's a plea deal regarding a DWI. Even though it's not a plea deal regarding the DWI,
exactly.
It's a plea deal regarding
probation.
Violation of probation.
So people were misinformed, it sounds like.
That's right. However, Jim Ritz was accused of prosecutorial misconduct this past week, and it had to do with a different case. And in this case, he referred to the alleged criminal, as Diablo, which was his nickname, not his actual name. And the court felt that the use of that perjured influenced the jury. But not to the point where it should have been overturned.
Are we being too PC now with our district attorney's rights and the ability for them to explain and draw a picture so you can understand what's really going on? I mean, if that was the guy's nickname, then by God, it wasn't like his nickname was Saint Joe. Diablo makes me think a whole different thing.
Well, and that's exactly the point.
And what's wrong with that?
That's the point that the judges were making, that it makes you think something completely different than if you just called him Joe.
Right, but he's not St. Joe. He's not known as St. Joe around the block. He's known as Diablo.
But he was known by both names.
So why isn't that just called out? It's a slap on the wrist. You get called to the bench, and then you move on.
So that's basically what it was. It was a slap on the wrist. They didn't overturn the case or anything of that nature.
When I hear prosecutorial misconduct coming from someone who doesn't know a ton about, the judicial processes. I think something huge, like, you know, collusion with the bad guy or withholding information or, you know, big time stuff.
Right.
Not little stuff. Like, I accidentally called the guy by the wrong name. I mean, give me a break.
Yeah. Right. And I don't think it was an accident that he called him that name. I mean, let's be
realistic. He's trying to draw a picture. He's trying to,
right.
you know, show you.
Right, right. And it just so happens that if we were in those shoes of that person who was accused of the crime, we would not want the prosecutor referring to us as Diablo or, you know, by our criminal nickname. So,
yeah.
you know, I understand why the court decided the way they did.
So choose your nicknames wisely. Do you have any nicknames, Mike?
Actually, I do. When I was growing up, I was called Spock.
Spock? Oh, my gosh, this is priceless. All right, excellent.
My head did not adjust to the size of my ears for many years until after I was grown. So I had unusually large ears for the size of my head.
That is so.
And that's
how
cute. I earned that nickname.
That's adorable. No, Tim stepped away. Otherwise, I would ask him if he had any nicknames growing up either. But so as long as we're steering clear of the nasty ones, I guess we're all set. Choose your nicknames wisely. Moral
that's
of
right.
that story.
Okay, so we had another story here with El Jimador Mexican Restaurant. The two owners, Jay Guadalupe Hernandez and Felicia Hernandez, were charged with harboring illegal aliens. And they are scheduled to be sentenced in January. They're found guilty. They face up to 10 years in prison. This is the second time that they have been found guilty of this charge.
So this is the restaurant, the Mexican place, right on 332 in Farmington, right?
I think it's correct.
Over the town line. Yeah, it's got the blue awning. It's always busy. I've never been in there, but I've heard it's decent
food. It's always busy?
Whenever I've driven by, it has been. Yeah, I think the hours are a little weird because you haven't seen it busy? I used to always see it busy.
I drive by there all the time, and maybe it's just the hours. Maybe I'm always coming in the morning, and they're not
maybe.
Open in the morning or
Didn't
something.
Didn't it used to be a diner? Wasn't there a diner there?
I think there probably was, yeah.
Okay.
It was a diner.
Yeah, I remember having breakfast there a long time ago. So, yeah, never been there, but so harboring illegal aliens was
yeah.
a charge. Second
right.
time. I guess if you want authentic Mexican food, you have to have authentic Mexicans making
you know how they caught them, don't you?
Is this another joke? Am
no,
I falling
true.
For something?
There's a state police barracks, right? They're practically
right
adjacent
right.
from
right.
the thing.
Troopy.
There's a tunnel, and they were able to connect to the basement.
Oh,
there we I knew it. I knew it. I wasn't going to step into it. I do not trust you guys anymore.
You know the other thing, too? I mean, I know a lot of people like the restaurant, which is good.
Eerily?
Dark on Mondays. I know they're not open.
Right.
But, I mean, there's not a stitch of light for miles in that parking lot and that building. And it always, when I go home, I'm like, oh, the whole building's gone? No, it's just, no light.
Just kind of like the heat in here. You just don't pay for
it. Right, you gotta have some friction in here to make stuff get warm. Look at the customer.
Shivering.
He came in with a parka.
I know, I need to borrow.
I'm
going to
give you a courtesy
parka. Oh, a courtesy, that'd be perfect.
Yeah.
Right, get her name stenciled down there.
Right. Well, just put like co-host jacket or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Co-host down the back.
I like it.
So our other crime story was there was a credit card skimmer, actually several of them, found on the Exxon gas station in Avon. So if you're somebody who used that station any time in the last month, there's a good chance that criminals now have your credit card information.
That's you know how to avoid that.
That's the only time that I ever got it.
Yeah.
Pay inside cash.
No, just keep your business in Ontario County. Instead of Avon. No.
Right. Yeah, if you went all the way to Avon for gas, you deserve it.
Well, no, I mean, you might be driving back and forth, you know, in that direction, coming down 5 and 20.
Sure.
You remember Avon? I mean, they have the horse.
I know Avon, yeah.
They have
the little roundabout. Statue,
mm-hmm. Right? And we, as kids, we always used to, going through up 5 and 20, we used to go into Avon, and we'd all have our eyes looking forward in the car for this horse that was at the intersection.
I'd fill up in West Bloomfield right before I headed out of Ontario County.
Where they have the phone booth, so you didn't have
to
worry.
That's right, so it's safe. I'm telling you, I know what I'm doing.
Maybe there is something about phone booths.
That's right. Maybe Avon needs to get a phone booth now. So. But that's our show for this week, and I want to thank everybody for turning on and tuning in. What? So now I need to know, what day does December 24th fall on?
Christmas Eve?
Christmas Eve.
I think it's on a Sunday.
Oh, that's the worst day because
it is.
All the stores tend to close the day before Christmas if it's on a Sunday.
And I'm checking right now.
So maybe I'll have to do my shopping on the 23rd
this year.
It is.
It's on a Sunday.
Okay, I'll have to do my shopping on the 23rd this year.
That's terrible. No.
Yes,
put a little more thought into it, Mike. You've got another month.
I think all the way up until December 24th.
Then it's
execution
day. And
then that's when I go out and buy.
Maybe that's the wrong thing to call it.
Every year, my wife gets something amazing out of the store. This year, it might be a plaid vintage hunting jacket made out of pure wool.
Mm.
How is she not lucky?
Very lucky. So lucky.
You should wife.
You know, one thing I was thinking about trying to do this year is shop completely local just in Canandaigua for all my Christmas gifts for everybody I have to buy for. You know, really do business locally. And I would encourage anybody that can, even if you want to start small and say, hey, you know, 2 out of the 10 or 20 gifts you have to buy, I'm going to buy locally, invest in small business. I'm really going to make a concerted effort to do that.